الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من طلب الدنيا حلالا استعفافا عن المسألة، سعيا على أهله وتعطفا على جاره، لقي الله تعالى ووجهه مثل القمر ليلة البدر. ومن طلب الدنيا حلالا مكاثرا مفاخرا مرائيا، لقي الله تعالى وهو عليه غضبان، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء كرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed and honored each and every one of us. Allah has granted us an accolade, a distinction. Allah has elevated our status. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala included us in the ummah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أنتم تتمون السبعين أمة أنتم خيرها وأفضلها على الله. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this ummah of mine, you are a culmination of 70 ummahs. أنتم خيرها وأفضلها على الله. And this ummah of mine is the best. The greatest fazilat, virtue, distinction, honor has been granted to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One thing we have to understand, my respected brothers, that this, our being included in this ummah, this is not a biological accident. This is not something that is left to chance. مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَى. Allah hasn't given choice to anyone to decide these things. All this is in Allah's hands. Whether you are male, female, whether you are an animal or human being, which era or period you were born. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَى. Your Rabb has created whatever He wants and Allah decides. There is one principle, very simple principle, which almost on a day-to-day basis we are confronted with, or we are made cognizant of. Ulama explain it like this, they say, with tashreef is takleef. With tashreef is takleef. In layman's terms, understand this by example. In a business, you get somebody who is mopping the floor. He gets a minimal wage. He gets a minimal wage. He does not get much recognition. No one gives the person who is mopping the floor a second glance also. If he makes a noise, no one will listen to him also. His returns are minimal. Position, status, minimal. Coupled with that is the understanding that his responsibility is also a minimal. Comes to work, don't come to work, there's other sweepers, other cleaners also. Fire him, don't fire him, it makes no business to the run, no difference to the running of that business. Take the same person who's mopping the floor, give him a promotion, give him several promotions, make him the manager. What are you giving him? Tashreef, honor. Wages will rise, distinction will rise, recognition will rise, honor and status will rise. But with that is the common understanding that his level of responsibility also will rise. Sweeper comes to work or not, no one is worried about. Manager doesn't pitch up, what happens? The running of the entire business is affected. This principle, ulama say, with tashreef, with honor comes takleef, comes responsibility. Allah says, kuntum khayra ummah, you the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the best. This month of Rabiul Awwal is around the corner. We'll already see on many masajid boards, seerah gathering, seerah jalsa. Nazam and naats will be recited. Particularly the first 12 days of Rabiul Awwal, great concentration will be placed on the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such a momentous event. We can't even go into the details. We can't even make sufficient shukr to Allah. Such a blessing Allah has given us. Many of us, unfortunately, we identify with this aspect. We love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has given us distinction and honor, including us in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But unfortunately, with many of us, it stops there. This declaration of love and devotion does not translate itself into a physical manifestation in our lives. That is why very often the name is Ghulam Muhammad. One place, one person had 11 sons, he named each one Muhammad. Muhammad Awwal, Muhammad Thani, Muhammad Thalith, Muhammad Rabi'ah. We name our children Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We give ourselves names that are linked to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we have absolutely no problem, head to toe, whether he's dressing, the way when he opens his mouth, how he speaks, when he's in his house, dealing with his wife, with his children, with society. Name is Ghulam Muhammad. Actions and physical manifestation are the dushman and enemy of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This, my respected brothers, is hypocrisy. This is not what is matloob. Allah has given us such an example. Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. For you in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most beautiful, most perfect example. Here also, many of us limit our understanding. Example in what? In our salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي يُصَلِّي. Make salah like you see me making salah. Follow my salah, that is salah. Follow anything else, even if you are adding to it. It's not piety, it is not even salah, if it is not the salah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Zakat, we follow his example. Tilawat of Quran, we follow his example. Zikr of Allah, we follow his example. And we have this mindset. My salah, I will follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will give me jannat. Fasting, Allah will give me jannat. Tilawat of Quran, Allah will give me jannat. Zikr of Allah, Allah will give me jannat. And we tend to compartmentalize our lives. What about the other aspect? Morning till night, every person, people are going to school, people are going to universities. Millions and billions of people are converging on the marketplaces. Someone is a laborer, someone is a trader, someone is a factory worker. How much time is actually spent in salah and ibadat? We say salah and ibadat is for our jannat. What about the rest of our life? What about our earning our livelihood? Is Shariat silent on that? Salah for my jannat and my karubar and business for my dunya? My respected brothers, first let us understand. Let us understand, salah for my jannat, absolutely no doubt in that. In fact, we cannot possibly overemphasize the importance of salah. The delegation of Taif came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine, we know the incident of Taif. How much of duk, how much of pain, how much of hurt Allah's Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam underwent. When he told Aisha radiallahu anha, that was the hardest day of my life. Now those same people, the same people of Taif are coming cap in hand. Ya Rasulullah, we want to accept Islam, we want to become your followers. But we have one condition. What was the condition? We are prepared to accept Islam and become your followers, but We want to be excused from salah. Everything else we'll do, we won't make salah. Allahu Akbar. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? The crux of the riwayat, I'm not going into the details. He said, such a condition can never be accepted. Like there is no body without a head, by the qasam of my Allah, there is no deen and Islam, if there is no salah. This mata, this forehead was created for this. Allah ke samne jhukna. Bow down before your maker, your creator, Allah. When his muazzin calls out, when his caller calls out, Allahu Akbar, everything must stop. We're talking about earning dunya. South African legislation passed in January, minimum wage is 20 rand an hour. What this translates to, 40 hour week normally is the amount of hours a laborer works. In a month, this is about 3,500 to 4,000 rand. You pay somebody 3,500 to 4,000 rand. He's working for you. Because of that pittance of a wage that you give him, when he's tardy, he's late, he's not punctual, you reprimand him, he keeps quiet. To put it in layman's terms, when you tell him to jump, he asks you how high. Inside he's raging. Inside he's swearing you. But because of that wage, that 4,000 or 4,500 rand is getting end of the month, he keeps quiet. He puts up with whatever you tell him. My respected brothers, one ni'mat of Allah, one bounty of Allah, these eyes. It is said 1 millimeter of the eye can accept 30,000 separate points of light in 1 second. In each eye, Allah has placed 130 million receptors for light. Call it light bulbs. 130 million receptors in each eye. At the back of the eye, there is a hole. What is the size of the hole? Quarter of a millimeter. Through that hole, a cable is passing. A hole the size quarter of a millimeter. Cable is passing. That cable has 1.3 million wires. A cable with 1.3 million wires passing through a hole size quarter of a millimeter. Where is Allah doing this? In some laboratory? In some controlled environment? No. Fi butuni ummahatikum. In the womb of your mothers. Fi dhulumatin thalath. In 3 layers of darkness. At the back of the eye is the retina. Each time an image forms or falls on the retina, the muscles around the retina flex to clear the retina for the next image. This flexing occurs 70 to 80,000 times a day. If we are to put the same muscles in the foot, this flexing, the energy that is used, is equivalent to walking 70 to 80 kilometers a day. All this is going on just with the eyes, in order to enable these eyes to take 10 three-dimensional pictures every second, 800,000 pictures every day. One ni'mat of Allah. Let one person, become the owner of the whole world. Stupendous wealth, unlimited resources. And let him go into the marketplace. Hire out all the laboratories, get together all the scientists, medical experts, and throw millions and billions of dollars at them, and tell them to manufacture for you one eye. By the qasam of my Allah, millions and billions of dollars. Make one eye for me. Qiyamah will come, they won't make 1 millimeter of the eye also. What price tag are you going to put on the ni'mats of Allah? In that factory, somebody pays you 4,000 or 5,000 rands a month. He tells you to jump, you ask how high. What does my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Al-jafa, kull al-jafa. Al-jafa, kull al-jafa. Understand it like this. Zalim, sabse bara zalim. The greatest oppressor is who? The rogue, the thief, the looter. The rapist, all that is oppression, no doubt. Who is the greatest oppressor? Sahaba asked, man, Ya Rasulullah, who is it? He said, Man sami'a nida'a falam yujib. The one who heard the azan and didn't come to the masjid, greatest zalim than him, there is no one. Allah ki taraf se da'wat aayi. Allah's caller called you, hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. Your Malik, your Khalik, Allah. 700 times in the Quran, Allah brings this word salah. 10 times direct command, aqeemus salah, aqeemus salah, aqeemus salah, aqeemus salah. 10 times. As if the earth, the heavens, the sky, each one is calling out to you. Lower yourself. Accept the command of Allah. Greater zalim than this, there is no one. Coming back to what we were talking about, my respected brothers. Salah, jannat. Tilawat of Quran, jannat. Zikrullah, jannat. Fasting, jannat. Allah's qasam, jannat is not confined to this. My business is also jannat. My earning, my livelihood is also jannat. When that earning of livelihood, when that business will come onto the example, the sublime teachings of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With tashreef comes takleef. With this honor that Allah has included us in this ummah, understand, when we are standing in that marketplace, whether we are a laborer or a shopkeeper or a shop owner or a factory owner, whoever you are the ambassador and representative of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The kafir of this world is not seeing your salah, he's not seeing your zikr, he's not seeing your tilawat of Quran. He doesn't know about your fasting. He's not even allowed in Makkah and Medina. What are the opinions that he is forming of who is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is his understanding of Islam? What is his road to Jannah? It is you and I. What type of a businessman are we? What type of amanat dari there is in us? What type of sachai and truthfulness there is in us? On one occasion, Sa'd bin Mu'az is in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observes the hands of Sa'd bin Mu'az. His skin has become chafed. His hands are lined. Scar marks are visible. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam holds the hands of Sa'd. And he says to him that, Sa'd, how did your skin become like this? How did your skin become like this? What happened? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I was tilling the field, pulling the rope in order to water my own fields. Physical labor for what? To put halal food in front of his children, to feed his family. We have this mindset, my salah is for Jannat. Don't compartmentalize our deen. Shariat is not silent on your earning livelihood. Your earning livelihood also is your Jannat. To what extent? Allahu Akbar, the whole majma is looking. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He takes the hands of Sa'd bin Mu'az. Then he kisses those hands. And he says that skin or that hand that has become like this because of physical toil and hardship and labor in order to put halal food in front of your children. Allah has made the fire of Jahannam haram on those hands. Allah has made the fire of Jahannam haram on those hands. Now the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, person goes to work. Morning till night he works, does this for a whole month, end of the day or end of the month, what is happening? He gets his salary, he gets his return, he gets his remuneration. In the heavens and the earth, in the eyes of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is there any remuneration for this? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man amsa, kallan bi amali yadehi. Amsa maghfuran lahu. O kama qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person, morning till night he worked, whether in a factory or in a field, or he worked in the marketplace, earning halal, morning till night he worked, end of the day he cashed up, or he got his wages. In the eyes of Allah, what is he getting? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Maghfooran lahu. Allah forgives all his sins. Allah forgives all his sins. The hadith which I mentioned in the beginning. Man talabat dunya halalan. Obviously the condition is halal. The condition is halal. All these ni'mats and bounties, halal. And particularly when we talk about halal, what does it actually mean? Two things. Sidq, truthfulness, honesty. Truthfulness and honesty. And the second thing, amanadari, trustworthiness. This is why Rasulullah SAW said, At-tajiru s-saduqul ameen. At-tajiru s-saduqul ameen. Ma'an nabiyyina wa siddiqina wa shuhada. Prior to Nubuwat, 40 years Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived amongst the people of Makkah. They interacted with him. Day to day they would see him in front of them. At that time he didn't say, I'm the Nabi of Allah. Nubuwat had not even been given, revealed upon him yet. 40 years they interacted with him. What was the conclusion? Abdullah bin Abi Hamsa, one day he meets Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prior to Nubuwat. A trade takes place, some form of transaction. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, I'm going to fetch the goods and I'm coming. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives him his word, I will wait for you here. Abdullah bin Abi Hamsa goes away, he forgets. Three days later, happens to be passing that way, he gets a shock. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still standing there. 3 days. Rushes to him. Have you been waiting for me for 3 days? Ya fata, laqad shaqaqta alayya. Ana antadhiruka mundu thalathata ayyam. Allahu Akbar, such akhlaq, such character. What does he say? Oh youngster, you have caused great taklif to me. 3 days I am standing and waiting for you. Why he gave zaban? He gave his word. This is why the gullies and the alleys of Makkah would resound. Before Nubuwat, Al-Amin, As-Sadiq. Al-Amin, As-Sadiq. The truthful one, the trustworthy one. Safwan radiallahu ta'ala, one day, he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ayakun al-mu'min jabanan? Ya Rasulullah, is it possible to be a mu'min and to be buzdil, to be a coward? Cowardliness in no culture is liked. Is it possible to have iman and be a coward? My Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said yes. Ayakun al-mu'min bakhilan? Ya Rasulullah, is it possible to be a mu'min and be a kanjus? Be a miser? This also is not liked in any culture. Maki choose, they say. He'll squeeze the oil out of a fly. Ayakun al-mu'min bakhilan? Ya Rasulullah, is it possible to be have iman and be a miser? This also, Rasulullah said, yes, it is possible. And then the question was asked, Ayakun al-mu'min kathaban? Ayakun al-mu'min kathaban? Ya Rasulullah, is it possible to be a mu'min and be a liar? Iman and lies, iman and treachery. One hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a mu'min, my ummati can do anything, but two things he will never do. He will never lie and he will never deceive. He will never lie and he will never deceive. Iman does not allow this. Ayakun al-mu'min kathaban, Ya Rasulullah, can he be a liar and a mu'min? Allahu Akbar, what does my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said? No, this is not possible. All these virtues Allah will give you. Allah will give you jannat on your business. What kind of jannat? Not just ordinary jannat. To use this word ordinary for jannat is actually inappropriate. There's nothing ordinary about Jannat. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَّا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. One analogy ulama give. We hear in hadith descriptions of Jannat. لَبِنَةُ الذَّهَبْ لَبِنَةُ فِضَّةً مِلَاتُهَا مِسْكْ حَسْبَاهُ اللُّؤْلُؤُ وَالْيَاقُوتُ تُرَابُهَا زَعْفَرَانُ. One brick of gold, one brick of silver. Joining the two is musk. The sand is zafran. The stones are sapphires and emeralds. Ulama say these things, gold, silver, sapphires, emeralds, this is the cheapest thing in Jannat. This is where Jannat starts. What is actually in Jannat far supersedes this. Why has Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not mentioned it? Because we wouldn't understand. Allah says, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٍ. No one actually knows. No one actually knows what we have kept in Jannat, things which will cool your eyes. One is so-called ordinary Jannat. Then there is another Jannat. There is another Jannat. In our layman's terms, understand it as VIP Jannat. There is a VIP. Today we want to be VIPs. We want that little extra recognition. We want that special box. We want that special card. We want that special entry. We want people to stand up for us in Jannat. Also one normal Jannat. Then VIP Jannat. What is VIP Jannat? Firdaus. No time to go into the details. We've already run out of time. But little bit. Glimpse. What is Firdaus? One riwayat it comes. Inna Allah Ta'ala yadkhulu Jannat al-Firdaus fil yawmi khamsa marrat. فيقول ازدادي طيبا لأوليائي ازدادي حسنا لأوليائي. Allah enters Jannatul Firdaus. Allah entering or leaving, this is not literal, this is just for our understanding. Allah addresses this Jannat 5 times every day. How old is the universe? Scientists estimate 14 billion years. Scientists estimate the universe is 14 billion years old. True or untrue, Allah knows best. Jannat was created before this. According to this hadith, 5 times every day, if we accept this, for the last 14 billion years, Allah is entering this Jannat and Allah is saying, become even more beautiful. Become even more beautiful. Become even more beautiful. What type of a Jannat is being made? The palaces 5 times more beautiful every day. The rivers, the streams, the food of this Jannat, the fruits of this Jannat, the women of this Jannat. Today a woman sits in front of the mirror, she'll put a little bit cosmetics. Maybe she'll wants to got a little bit extra funds, so she'll go for some Botox treatment, or liposuction, or do all sorts of surgery, to try to become more beautiful, more attractive. Such are the pressures of society. But there is a cut-off point. Eventually someone will say, if you're going to put any more cosmetics, you start looking ugly. Stop now. Don't overdo it. The women of this Jannat 5 times every day for the last 14 billion years. My Allah is saying, become more beautiful. Become 5 times every day, getting more and more beautiful. Masturat should not be worried. Masturat should not be worried. The beauty that Allah will give the woman of dunya that obeys Allah and earns this Jannat is 70,000 times more than the beauty of the hurs of Jannat. But such a Jannat, VIP Jannat, who is going to be in this Jannat? Anbiya will be in this Jannat. Siddiqeen will be in this Jannat. Shuhada will be in this Jannat. And who else? Who else? Who else? My Nabi said, At-tajiru as-saduqul amin. That businessman of my ummat. That shopkeeper of my ummat. That trader of my ummat. He was earning dunya. He was earning dunya. But 2 conditions. Sadiq. He did not lie. He did not lie. Amin. He was amanatdar. Allah will give him this Jannat. Allah will give him this Jannat, not on his salah, and not on his zikr, and not on his tilawat, and not on his fasting. Allah will give him this Jannat on his karobari, on his business. Look at the demographics of the world today. Malaysia, Philippines, Indonesia, Thailand, China. Orientalists are purporting the theories that Nauzubillah Islam was spread through the sword. People were forced to accept Islam. Read history. The most populous Muslim nation on the earth today is Indonesia. This entire region, no sword was raised. No war was fought. No jihad took place. This entire region where more Muslims are than anywhere else in the world. This entire region entered into Islam. Because in the first century, in Qarn-e-Ula, Sahaba, then Tabi'in, then Tabi'in made hijrah to these places. They went for business, but in their hearts was the fikr of akhirat. They went for business, but they were role models of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people of this region, seeing their business, entered into Islam. Man talaba dunya halalan, my Nabi said, seek your dunya in a halal way. Seek your dunya in a halal way. Isti'afafan anil mas'ala, have this intention. I don't want to stretch my hand out to anyone. Sayan ala ahlihi, I want to put halal food in front of my family. Tatufan ala jarihi, I want to spend on my neighbors. I want to show the akhlaq and character of Islam. Seek dunya in this way. One example I'll give, I'll terminate on that. We have this mindset that if I spend on others, if I show the akhlaq of Islam, my dunya will get less. No. Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, amongst the galaxy of Sahaba, two are famous for their business. One is Usman, the other is Abdurrahman bin Auf. Time is limited. One example. Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once there was drought in Medina. What do we do? Drought, goods are scarce, commodities are scarce, so what we do, hire out a warehouse. Put the goods there, hide it away so that the price goes even higher. Drought in Medina, no commodities in the marketplace. All of a sudden the caravan of Osman radiallahu anhu arrives. 1,000 camels laden with goods. All the wholesalers gather. Osman, whatever you paid, 10% profit I'll give you. He says, I got a better offer. Someone says 20%, someone says 30%, someone says 40%, someone says 50%. Each time Osman is saying, I got a better offer, I got a better offer, I got a better offer, I got a better offer. Someone says 100% profit, he still says, I got a better offer. They say, this we can't match. What offer have you got? What offer have you got? Osman says, I have got an offer 1,000%. You paid one, I will give you 10. They are shocked. Who gave you this offer? Man jaa bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha. Man jaa bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha. Allah says, give me one, I'll give you minimum 10. Give me one, I will give you minimum 10. Usman says, my Allah has given me this offer. There is drought in Medina. I make every one of you witness this entire consignment is sadaqah on the fuqara of Medina. That night, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is sleeping. He sees a dream. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wajuhu mithlul qamari laylat al-badr, chodbi raat ki chaan. The beautiful face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That too dressed up, amama, riding a white horse. Abdullah bin Mas'ud is excited to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, spend some time with me. Abdullah, I'm in a hurry. I have to leave now. Where are you going, Ya Rasulullah? Allah loved the sadaqah of Usman today. Allah loved the sadaqah of Usman today. In exchange for that, Allah made his nikah with one of the hoors of Jannat to the walima of that nikah. All the anbiya have been invited. I am going to the walima of Usman. It was this tijarat, this akhlaq, this reliance on Allah. This reliance on Allah that opened up not only the doors of dunya and barakah, melted the hearts of humanity towards Islam. Man talabat dunya halalan. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, earn your dunya halal. Sachai, amanadari, trustworthiness, truthfulness. Have this intention. You want to put halal in front of your family. You don't want to stretch your hand out to anyone. You want to show the akhlaq of Islam. What will happen? Laqi Allah ta'ala yawm al-qiyamah wa wajuhu mithlul qamari laylat al-badr. My Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, not this namazi, not this musalli, not this shabedar or rozedar, no. My Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this karobari, this businessman will meet Allah on the day of judgment. His face will be shining like the 14th full moon. اللہ کی توفیق و آخر دعوانا الحمدللہ.